that the Torah has two presentations of Parshas Zohar, one to the end of Kisetze, and one to the end of Bishalach. And the Mishnah Brura cites the Magen Avraham, who indicates that if one missed Parshas Zohar and Kisetze, if one missed the Parshas Zohar, the Takonas Chazal, the Shabbos before Purim, one can compensate for that by reading Purim morning, by hearing the Kriya Satorah of Zohar in Bishalach. Many Achronim question this because the Parshas are clearly markedly different in nature, as we pointed out. When the Torah mentions in Kisetze Zohar and Los Ishkach, what exactly are these mitzvos? The simple pshat would indicate there's a fundamental distinction between the mitzvah asay, the positive commandment, which is to remember Liskor Maise Amalek, Zohar is Asha'osa Lecha Amalek. The lav, on the other hand, the negative commandment, relates to the mitzvah limchoso, the obligation to blot out Amalek, as it says, Timcha Ezecha Amalek Mitachas HaShamoyim. The Gemara learns out from the fact that we have a repeat of these commands, the obligation to do it by Amir B'peh. They want us to verbalize it. And we referred to this in the last two shiurim. And we also noted that there are among the great Moni HaMitzvos, those who counted the mitzvahs, who did not count at all this obligation of Zikara. The Bahag, for example, counts the mitzvah of Mechiyah Zerak Amalek only, exclusively. And therefore, the Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perla, in his monumental commentary to Rav Sadia Gaon's Sefer HaMitzvos, writes, in terms of this Bahag, Nireh Boro Desirele Dezechira Eina Mitzvah B'nei Atzma, that Zechira is not an independent mitzvah, but rather it's subsumed under the mitzvah Mechiyah Samolik. The Inyan Zechira Hu Liskar HaChoba Limcho Zara V'chol HaShelo. And as I mentioned, there are many Rishonim who disagree with this position. The Rambam, for example, counts two separate mitzvahs. Namely, the Rambam indicates Zohar and Lo Tishkach. The Rambam writes, as we saw already on page number 2 of the Rambam Kamos and Kuf Pei Tes, He Shetzivonu Liskar Masha'asa Lana Amalek, the fact that Amalek began and essentially Klal Yisrael was viewed, especially after all the Nisan that Hashem performed for us, as almost being invincible, and they broke the ice. As Rashi quotes from the Chazal, the Medrash, the Moshe, the Ambatya, they chilled, they cooled off the seething Ambatya. So the Rambam counts here in Kuf Pei Tes, the obligation to remember that which Amalek did, and that we should verbalize it b'chol eis v'eis, as we discussed yesterday. And the zari zom lisna also achaloti shoka chamitzva loti cholish sinaso. The chinuch also, as we see here on page number 2 and 3, also notes the obligation to remember Maisa Amalek. And he writes that in the sharashe hamitzva, to look on page number 2, losei selibenu shekol hametsa liYisrael. Anyone who essentially causes anguish to Klal Yisrael, sonu lufnei Hashem baruch hu. The Ribbono Shel Olam has an element of venom towards that nation or towards those individuals, and their mapola is going to come upon the heels of that. We also made reference to the issue of women. Are women obligated in the obligation of Zohar Sash'asol HaMolek? It would seem this is not a mitzvah say Shazman Groma. We discussed the Machlokes of Rishonim regarding that matter yesterday. But offhand, it's not particularly bound up with a specific period of time. And there's also a lav that's attached to it, the lav of Lo Tishkach. So why should a woman be exempt from this mitzvah? However, we saw in the Sefer HaChinuch that he writes very clearly that this particular mitzvah, he says, is noeg b'chol makom u'b'chol zman bischarim. It only applies, the Chinuch says, to the male gender. And the reason, as the Chinuch explains, because kilohem lasos hamnuchamba v'nikmas ha'oyev lo l'noshim, because women are la b'nei Milchama Ninu. They're not involved in any war effort, and therefore it's a mitzvah that particularly devolves upon the male gender. And also, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, the mitzvah of Zikaron is only Noeg B'Schorim. However, we mentioned that the mitzvah is also to remember Maase Amalek and not simply mitzvahs mechiyoso. So what's the connection between the exemption of women from the mitzvah of Milchama Amalek and the obligation of Zikaron? This is a question that the Minchas Chinuch already asks on the Sefer HaChinuch. And he writes the Minchas Chinuch the following. The Chinuch exempted women from this mitzvah, that they will be exempt not just only from the mitzvah say, but from the negative commandment as well. The Rambam, that's not clear. And that which the Chinuch has tended to explain the rationale why women are exempt, says the Minchas Chinuch, because they don't become involved in any war effort. Who told them this? Who revealed this secret to the Sefer HaChinuch, that the basis for this mitzvah is vengeance? The Efshur Gzeras HaKosov Shenizkor Sinoso Meizetam. Maybe the entire Gzeras HaKosov is simply to remember their hatred. Ba'anachnu Ein Yodim, we don't really know. The Efshur Af B'Bias Mishichenu Sheikar Samol Mikol V'Kol V'Lo Yela Zecholayim Mikol V'Kol Haschira Yetom Mitzasei Liskor V'Lo Lishkoach. This seems to be an ongoing mitzvah to remember Zachor, ongoing, as I mentioned yesterday, the distinction between the imperative form, Lashon Tzivui, and Zachor, the participle, the way the Ramban comments on Omor Lohem, or the Ramban comments on Zachor, Simon Shabbos Lekacho, an ongoing kind of mitzvah, a mitzvah nimsheches, here also a mitzvah nimsheches, and therefore the Minchas Chinuch says, Alkein Tzorachion, the Pote Noshim mitzvah sezo. He questions the legitimacy of that exemption that the Chinuch laid down for women. But as I said, there are many poskim who assume that women are chayiv as well. Hagoyin Rav Avadi Yosef Zatzal Yabi Omer has a lengthy tshuva, and he writes over there that women are obligated to come to shul and to hear the kriya of this pasha from the Ezras Noshim. And he says, Kimin HaTorah Ein Zman Kavua L'Kriya Zo. There's no specific time frame for this mitzvah. And he writes, if they're not able to come to shul because they're involved with raising young children, then they should read from Mechumash Pasha Zohar Dafka on the Shabbos of Pasha Zohar. So these are some of the elements that are relevant in the mitzvah of Pasha Zohar. And perhaps we'll mention another very significant Rambam, that the Rambam writes in Perakei Hilchos Melachim. He has the following comment. When he defines the mitzvah, he tells us, we saw the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs over here, in Kuf Pei Tes. But in Hilchos Melachim, he writes, U'mitzvah say, Liskor tomin masov haroyim varivoso. The obligation is to remember that which Amalek did, and the ambush, kedei la'orer eivoso, in order to arouse the eiva that one should have towards them, shenemar, Zohar is Asher Asa L'cha Amalek. So the Rambam defines the mitzvah as La'orer Eivoso. The question is whether the Rambam has the same intention as the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch connected this mitzvah with Milchama, with going to war, which is Minchas Chinuch question. And the question on the Rambam is that his intent as well? When the Rambam says La'orer Eivoso, what does he mean? The Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs that we read, that's found here in the Rambam Kamos, on page number 2, the Rambam there says, Shetivonu Liskar, and he also writes, in that context, Uno Orer, the Rambam says, Hanefoshos Bimamorim Li Lochenbo. So it seems that Milchama is also an integral part of the mitzvah according to the Rambam. And the Rambam goes on to say, towards the end of that passage in Kuf Pei Tes, Halo Tireh, Shmuel HaNovi, Shehizchil, Lasos HaMitzvah Azos, Eich Oso, Shehu Zoha Tchila Maaseu Hara, the
Yachagach tzivu lahargo. Hu amora yisbarach pakadat yesher asa amalek li Yisrael. Sounds like that the tachlis of this chira is mechias amalek. And as I said, this is exactly the reason why poskim have difficulty with the position of Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham that the Mishnah Berurah cited that one can be yotze the mitzvah of Zohar if one did not do so in the context of Parshas Zohar before Purim with the Kriyas HaTorah of Bishalach on Purim morning. So this is the question in Poskin. Can one be yotze with Vayavar Amalek? As the Minchas Chinuch and the Archa Shulchan and the Mishnah Berurah already questioned this psak, because clearly what's found at the end of Bishalach is markedly different from that which is found in Parshas Kitzeitze. It does not mention whatsoever in Bishalach the obligation lahachri zera amalek, and it would seem ikar chasim al sefer. How can one possibly be yotze the mitzvah of Parshas Zohar with that which is found in the end of Bishalach? And even, as I said, the chinuch himself, the women are potter because of the fact that this is founded upon milchama, and the Michas Chinuch says and asks a famous question. Michas Chinuch asks from the Mishnah in Saita Daf Mem Dalet. The Mishnah says, with reference to a milchemes mitzvah, hakol yotzin, afilu kala michupasa, even a kala is obligated to leave the chuppah to join the milchemes mitzvah. So how could the Chinuch write over here that since they're not benos milchama, they're part of this mitzvah? There are many tirutzim to this kasha. I'll just mention a very mechudish tigateras that I once heard from a goyin Moran Harav Soloveitchik Zatzal. He suggested, based on the Ramban that we read, Ramban is found on page number 3. Ramban quotes a sifro, that what does it mean when the Torah says zochor, says the sifro, sheteshone beficha. And the Ravid, in his parish on the sifro, the beginning of Parashat Mechukosai, explains the sifro along the following lines. Sheteshone beficha, says the Ravid, Hilchas Megillah. That's how one fulfills this mitzvah of Parshas Zohar. The implication being, the Iku Kiyim of Zechiras HaMolek is the idea Talmud Torah of these inyonim, that one should delve into these inyonim, one should study from a Torah perspective these inyonim, one should study the halachas of Zechiras HaMolek and anything related to it. And that's the case, since women are exempt from Talmud Torah, they're also exempt from this obligation as well. That's how Rav Soloveitchik understood the Sifra and the Ravid's comment on the Sifra. And that's how he resolved the distinction between the Gemara in Saita, that undoubtedly when it comes to Mechemes Mitzvah, Chosem Echedro V'Kala Mechupasa, there's no question that women also have to be involved. Even though the Rishonim point out and the Mefarshim say that means they're not actually acting as soldiers, but rather they're behind the lines. They're doing all the accessory work that's necessary in order that the soldiers should be able to fight in a proper kind of way. But Bechozo, Rav Soloveitchik distinguished between that Gemara, which is a Mechemes Mitzvah, and the context of Amalek, where the Ravid and the Ramban called the Sifra Shona Beficha, which is connected to Talmud Torah, and since women are technically part of Talmud Torah, the Ma'at Zimor says, B'nei Chavah, B'nei Seichen, therefore that's how we resolve this question. It's fascinating that Hagoyin Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Soloveitchik's father, his practice was when he would get the Aliyah for Parshas Zohar, he would not read the Kriya together with the Baal Kerem. It's Yadua that the Vilna Goyin was Makpin, that is quoted in Maaser Rav. Kuf Lama Gimel, number 133. The Goyin not only did take the Aliyah for Parshas Zohar, he read the Torah himself in that Aliyah. Why? Generally, the assumption is that the Mishnah writes in Kedushin, the second parak, Mem Aleph, mitzvah bo yesim b'shulcho. Better to do the mitzvah yourself than relying on someone else to perform it. But Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, he did not read the Kriya together with the Baal Kerem. That's normally the practice of those who get an Aliyah. We read it silently together with the Baal Kerem. When it came to Parshas Zohar, he did not do so. Why? Because normally the din is that in general, we have a concept called Shomer Ka'inem, that when a person makes Kiddush and I hear his Kiddush, I'm Yotze by listening to his Kiddush. And it applies to Kriyas HaMegillah. Many, many halachas are based on the din of Shomer Ka'inem. In order for Shomer Ka'inem to work, the individual who is reciting has to have in mind, I'm doing the mitzvah on behalf of those who are listening. And of course, the Shomer or the Shomim, those that listen, have to have in mind They're fulfilling their duty to perform the mitzvah by listening. And therefore, that's why usually before Parshas Zohar, the gabbai of every shul will make an announcement that people should have in mind, should focus on fulfilling the mitzvah. But again, in terms of Parshas Zohar, perhaps here it's different, said Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Normally the din of Shomer Kaina is applicable. But here he argued the chiyuv of Parshas Zohar is a chevas kriya, not a chevas shmiya, v'haraya, the sifra. Mani mekayim Zohar sheteshene beficha. That one is obligated to verbalize the Parsha of Zohar. And therefore the tzibur is yotze the chiyuv of kriya by having kavan, as I said earlier, to be yotze the kriyas of the balkere, v'din shomer kaone. So he's also obligated to be yotze with the tzibur from the balkere. There's no Parsha Zohar biyachid. Parsha Zohar requires a minyan. We pointed out to the Mechaber yesterday, and the way many explain. And if he were to read himself, Rabbi Salveshi, when he got that aliyah, he'd be mekalkel the inyan aydei amiras kol milo shtei pomin. That he'd be saying each word twice, and it could be you're not yotze in such a fashion. And therefore, he was quiet, and he was yotze only the kriya of the balkere. Masha enkein, the kriya savter of kol hashana kula, there's no chiyav to be yotze the kriya savalkere aydei din shomer kaine. But simply, one listens to the Kriyas HaTorah without the din of Shomer Kaina. The Chiyuv is to hear Kriyas HaTorah and not to read in the Torah. That you should take a look at Siman Kuf Mem Bav, Sif Beis and Rachayim, whole discussion about that. So it could be that there, certainly, by reading yourself, you're not going to in any way be mafsid the Shmiya, but here, the halacha may be radically different. So we've seen a number of very fascinating chidushim regarding Parshas Zohar. And as mentioned already 2 days ago, in the shir, that Parshas Zohar, which is required min haTorah, that reading, which is unusual because Kriyas haTorah in general is a din rabbanon, and dafka, Parshas Zohar, annually, is a chiyav d'oraisa. And it's interesting that very often, there's more than one minyan for Parshas Zohar. There's sometimes several minyanim in shuls. They have minyan in the morning, a minyan after davening, a minyan in the afternoon, a minyan before mincha. Everyone is worried about Parshas Zohar. And this is a fascinating tshuva by Hagoyin, Rav Shmuel Vozner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whose son, also a Goyin, was just Nifter. And he has a very beautiful tshuva, whether one should have a second Parshas Zohar reading later on the day. Is such a thing permissible or not permissible? So the Shevet HaLevi, Chelik Dalid, in number Ayin Aleph, he has a discussion, and he has a very fascinating analysis. He compares it actually to a tshuva that's found in the Chidah, that on Shabbos Parshas Shkolin, which is this coming Shabbos, in a small town, so this town forgot to read the special maftir on Shabbos morning. And the afternoon, they realized that we missed somehow Parshas Shkolin. So there were several suggestions that were made by the members of this town. Some suggested that mincha, they read Shkolin for the Kohen, and for the other two aliyahs, they read the regular mincha reading from next week's Parsha. Others suggested that they read Shkolin on Monday instead of the weekday reading, since it was still before Rosh Chodesh Adar. And others suggested they read Parsha Shkolin the next Shabbos as maftir. A number of suggestions had to deal with the fact that they missed Parsha Shkolin. The Chidah was cholik on all three approaches, on all three suggestions, and he contended Shkolim can only be read in the morning, in the Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. That's the Zman that's a miuchat for Shkolim. And it can only be read on Shabbos, on which is designated to be read. The Shabbos of Parsha Shkolim. That's when it's supposed to be read. And in his opinion, someone who missed reading Shkolim at the appropriate time would not fulfill the Takanos Chazal by reading it any other time. It would be inappropriate to go ahead and read Shkolim on another occasion. So Rav Vozner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, contended that according to the Chidah, just as you cannot read Parshas Shkolim after its designated time, you can't read Parshas Zohar after its designated time, and therefore you cannot read in the afternoon for those who miss it in the morning. It would seem that many poskim do not agree with this position of the Chidah, and the Nedi Behuda in the Dogo Mervava and Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Kuf Lamed Hey, he paskins the halacha that a tzibur that was unable to have Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos morning, but was able to have it on Shabbos afternoon, should read the full reading and call up seven aliyahs, seven people prior to beginning mincha. And then after saying Ashri Velatzion, they should take out the Sefer Torah again and read the appropriate mincha reading from the following week's parsha. Now, he holds that one can read the main Shabbos reading in the afternoon if necessary, which of course is in conflict with the Psak of the Chidah to the contrary. Now, one could argue that maybe the Dogum Evav and Levi Yehuda might accept the Psak of the Chidah that you can't read Pasha Shkolim in the afternoon, but for a different reason. Because Mapte can only be read immediately following the rest of the week's Kriya and not by itself. On the other hand, there might be a chiluk that one could draw between Pasha Shkolim, that the reading of Shkolim doesn't fulfill any mitzvah d'oraisa. These are takonas of Chazal. To read Shkolim, we mentioned that the Yashomim includes not only Zohar, but also includes Parah, that also might be d'oraisa. But Zohar certainly is a Kriya mid'oraisa that we're mechuyev to observe. Even Chazal did not make any special takona. So that's the reason why there's a very, very widespread minog of having Pasha Zohar, Kriya, in the afternoon for those who are not able to attend the Kriya Satorah in the morning. That's a fascinating issue in and of itself, this whole question. I want to mention one more Ha'ara with reference to the Halacha. A Rambam, again, in Perakei Hilchos Melachim, Halacha Dalet. The Rambam writes, Mitzvah Saseh Lahachrim Shiva Amimim Shenem Hachrim Tachrimim. The Torah tells us the obligation to eliminate the seven nations that inhabit Eretz Yisrael. V'chol shebo liyado echad me'em b'lo harogo, over b'lo sase. If I encounter one of them and I don't kill them, I violate a law. Shenemar lo sechaye kol neshama. And then the Rambam adds three words, three very famous words based on the Mishnah Maseches Yadayim. The Rambam says, u'kvar obad zichrom. The zecher of these zayinamimim is no longer known to us. So the Radvaz quotes the Mishnah Maseches Yadayim in Perek Dalet Mishnah Dalet, that what does the Rambam mean? Bos Sancheriv u'bil b'las ha'olam. Sancheriv came, that was his tactic, his strategy, to go and disperse all the nations. We can no longer identify who's whom. And the Rambam goes on, however, in Halacha Hey, this is Halacha Dalet. Halacha Hey, the Rambam then makes the following statement. V'chei mitzvah say la'abed zecher amolek shenemar Timcha Ezecha Amalek, the obligation to blot out Amalek. Umitsa say Liskor Tomid, Mass of Haroyim Varivaso, Kedilarevaso, to remember what they did and to arouse the venom against them. Shenema Zoche Sash Osalcha Amalek, Mipiashmu Alamdu, Zoche Bepe, Lo Tishkach Belev, Shosso Lishkoach Evaso, Visinoso. So the problem is, the previous Rambam told us regarding Zayin Amimim, Ukra'o Vatzichram. Here the Rambam doesn't say a word regarding Amalek. Doesn't say Ukra'o Vatzichram. Shouldn't the same principle that the Rambam utilized regarding Zayin Amimim be operative, be relevant to Amalek? We don't know whom they are. We're not able to identify them. Mashra from the Rambam, Amalek Adayin Kayim Ba'olam. That Amalek is still extant. That Amalek is still here. Even though the Zayin Amimim were completely and totally, that mitzvah was negated by Sancher Shabil Bel Sa'olam, Maishna Amolik Mizayin Amimim. Why should there be a distinction between Amolik and Zayin Amimim? And we know that the Torah indicates to us that Amolik is still Kayam. Meharaya, the Pasuk says, Milchamal Hashem Ba'amolik Midor Ador. A clear text in Chumash that tells us the war against Amolik is ongoing. And Chazal say, Ein Hashem Shalem, Ben Akise Shalem, Achimoch, Zar Shalom Amalek. Till Amalek is totally eliminated, the Shem Hashem will not be complete. If that's the case, even though the Umos were in a state of complete bilbul, scattered everywhere, to and fro, and somehow Amalek is still Kaya. I heard a massive Chiddush, an unbelievable, fantastic Kiddush from Harav Soloveitchik Zatzal in the name of his father, HaGoyin Yamit Soloveitchik Zatzal, whose Yahrzeit was approximately a week ago. Rav Moshe suggested the following. Kol Uma, any nation that rises against Klal Yisrael and says, L'chu v'nachidim igoy v'lo yizoch Hashem Yisrael, they want to wipe us off the map, they have the status of Pialoch of Amalek. And those, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is really a two-pronged kind of mitzvah. On the one hand, Limchos Zecher Amalek, as the Pasha says, Mochet Timcha Zecher Amalek, Mitachas HaShamoyim. That's a mitzvah that devolves upon each one of us to be Meicheh Zara Shel Amalek. But then there's another aspect of the mitzvah, namely to wage war against the nation of Amalek. Milchama Lashem Ba'Amalek Midor Dor, the pasuk says. Every tzibur is obligated to be Lochem with the Am Amaleki. That mitzvah is not only Bezer Amalek. Kol Uma Shom Menes Aleinu L'Chaloseinu, said Ramesh Salamechik, any nation that rises against us to destroy us, to defeat us, that's a Mechemes Mitzvah. Mashen Kein, the Pashen Kiseisei, is talking about a Chiyuv that devolves upon each Yochid. And that's only on the Zera Amalek. Said Ramesh Salamechik, it's not his Chiddush. It's found in the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra writes in Shemos Yud Zayin Yud Dalin, where the pasuk tells us, after the Torah describes Vayava Amalek Vayilachem Yisrael Befridim, Vayomer Moshe Yeshua, as we described yesterday, there was a two-pronged battle going on. On the one hand, the battlefield that was completely navigated by Yeshua Ben Nun. And the other hand, there was a second battlefield. Moshe Rabbeinu, his hands outstretched in tefillah to Hashem Yisbarach, Vayi Yodav Emunat Bo HaShomesh. At the end, the Torah says, Vayachlos Yoshua Esamolek V'esamo L'fi Chorev. They were roundly defeated. So the question is, who is Amolek? And who is Amo? Vayachlos Yoshua Esamolek V'esamo. Whom are they? Says the Ibn Ezra. V'yesh Omrim Ki Amolek HaYoshem HaMelech. Amalek is the name of the king. Babu Shomer Akosov Es Amalek Ves Amo. Oh, that's one possibility. Amalek is the king and his nation. Second possibility suggests Ibn Ezra. Am Acher Nischaber Imo. Apparently, included in the war that was waged against Amalek, there were others that joined Amalek. Therefore, says the Ibn Ezra, and said, Hagoyin Amet Salavetchik Zatzal, L'Doyre Doyres. Whoever is mischaber l'darko shel Amalek is Amalek incarnate, has a status of Amalek. And he cited a Mechilta. Mechilta writes in Pashas Beshalach, and that pasuk, Mocho yemcha ezecha Amalek mitachas hashamoyim, Mechilta darshins, kol hador hahu. Said Rabbi Salavetchik, quoting the Netziv, who is, of course, Mishpacha, of the Soloveitchik family. So the Netziv writes, Kol ador ahu haboyim im Amalek, afal pi shaloi bonav shal Amalek came, even though they're not the children of Amalek, but in effect, that is a mitzvah which applies not just to Amalek, but applies to any nation that rises up against Klal Yisrael and automatically assumes the status of Amalek. So therefore we understand now, said the Soloveitchik, why the Rambam, when it comes to Halacha Hey, the Rambam doesn't mention what he said in Halacha Dalet. Halacha Dalet, he quotes the Mishnah Maseches Yadayin, the way the Radvaz says, Bosan Cherev, Ubil Belasa Elam, Bil Belasa Umos. In Halacha Hey, the Rambam says, he mentions the concept of Amalek. He doesn't say Kfar Avad Zichram. Why? Because the din of Melchemes Amalek is still extant. It's operative. Any Ummah has Zomemes L'chaloseinu, that wants to destroy Klal Yisrael, has a status of Amalek. And even after Sanhedrin, Bo, Ubil Belas Umos, this mitzvah of Mechemes Amalek is still relevant for posterity. And perhaps Arav Soloveitchik, quoting his father, suggested that's what the Rambam means when the Rambam says the following in the beginning of Perakei of Hilchos Melachim. Ve'zohi Mechemes Mitzvah. What's included in Mechemes Mitzvah? This is a big Machlokes HaRishonim, what's included? There's a Rashi in Sanhedrin. There are many, many Mekoros for this concept of Mechemes Mitzvah, but the Rambam writes over there, Ve'zoi Mechemes Mitzvah, Zu Mechemes Shivas Amamim, U Mechemes Amalek, Ve'ezras Yisrael Miyad Tzor Shavu Aleihem. The Rambam defines Mechemes Mitzvah as being, number one, the seven nations, number two, Mechemes Amalek, number three, Ezras Yisrael miyad tzor shebo aleihem. The Klal Yisrael is besieged, is under attack by a nation that wants to Rachmana Litzlan, destroy us. That's also including the Pasha of Amalek. And even though the Rambam here mentions Mechemes Amalek, but Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar, the Rambam included all of them together. And therefore, that's a shaycha to this Pasha as well. And this is a Chiddush Gadol Me'ed that clearly is not necessarily accepted by many of the Gdolei HaPoskim Shel Doreinu. I discussed this with HaGaon Rav Nevinsol Shlita a number of times. And he told me, Ze Chiddush She'i Efshar Lahagid. Not possible that such a Chiddush could be said, although he very much enjoyed the Diuk, or the Diukim in Lashon HaRambam, and he didn't think the Ibn Ezra was a Raya either to this Yesod, but it's a fantastic Chiddush. So I want to
I think it makes sense to me, and I think it fits very well into the words Zeichem Kiyas Amalek. It's not just what Amalek did, but every nation that comes up to copycat Amalek is a Zeichem to from what that was the Sherish of it, that's the Makar de Ambatya. So it's a Zeichem to Maaseh Amalek, whenever anybody does it. So I think it fits very well.
That's exactly what he held. It's a beautiful idea, a beautiful concept, but it's not muchrach lefiyan yuzdaiti, even from all the diukim that we just mentioned. I don't think it's muchrach 100%. It needs a lot more careful eon and analysis. I want to now explain what I already referred to several shurim ago in the name of the Malbim. Vayavo Amalek, vayilachem Yisrael b'freedom. So the Malbim, in a very beautiful analysis, points out that in general, when nations come to engage in any kind of conquest of territory, they do so for all kinds of reasons. Because they're under attack, because of territorial gain, they want to expand their area, because of COVID, because of prestige, all kinds of reasons. None of these reasons seem to be relevant over here. Vayavo Amalek, pitom, suddenly Amalek appears out of the blue and decides to attack Klal Yisrael. And that's a sign the way the Zohar presents Amalek. Amalek is told of the Tohu, evil incarnate, Rishus L'Shem Rishus. And that's the Pasuk. And the Torah doesn't tell us why Amalek came. Vayavo Amalek vayilachem Yisrael b'freedim. The Torah does not at all describe, is there a sichsuch of karka? Was there some territorial issue? Klal Yisrael, essentially, we don't even have any home. We're not yet in Eretz Yisrael. What possible reason could there be for Amalek to attack us and to prey on us? What could be the reason? So those of us who say piyutim, and there are still one or two left in the world, the Shirayim, the Sheres HaPleita. So you'll notice in the piyut that's found actually for Pasha Zohar, which is a fascinating piyut. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, even though he did not say piyutim, he knew them all. Because he said the piyut often reflects the very essence of what a day is all about. Almost as if you can capture the Gdush Hayoyim by looking at the piyut. So the Paitan writes a remarkable statement. What is Zohar? What is this Amalek all about? Says the piyut. Rotsu shlo matan lapidim. What does that mean? The simple pshat is that they wanted to go ahead and do what? They wanted to stop Matan Torah. Matan Torah was given b'keilos v'lapidim, as the pasuk says in Shemais. And that's what they wanted to undo. So therefore, they decided to wage war with Klal Yisrael in Refidim, which was the last tachana, the last station before Har Sinai. There, Klal Yisrael were going to be mekabel the Torah. And they wanted to undo, to undermine, to repudiate the possibility of Klal Yisrael receiving the Torah. So I heard a number of times, HaGoyin HaRav Nevinsol Shlita, he posed the following question. Amalek, let's assume that Lo Yerei Elokim refers to Amalek. We had this discussion yesterday. But assuming it refers to Amalek, they're not Mamin B'chlal in the Metzias of Hashem. Why should they be Nilcham Neged Matan Torah? What's the point? Why would they attempt to undo the revelation? Even if Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, and he has two Luchos Avodim, that you have the Aseres HaDibros on them, what significance does it make for them? These Luchos, for them, is not Ma'ase Elohim. The Michtav is not Michtav Elohim Choras HaLuchos. Moshe went ahead and decided to hew the Luchos, H-E-W. He took one of the rocks, and he's going to go ahead and have them hewn. And he wrote what he wrote on it. It has no significance for them whatsoever. If someone is not a Mamon Bashem, why would I fight against the Torah? What am I fighting about? What's the nature of this Melchama? Only if someone believes in the Metzius of Hashem is Barach, and his Mamon Bashkocha, and he knows that Hashem is about to give an invaluable Matana to Klal Yisrael, he has a reason to go ahead and fight it. Al Korcheinu, that Amalek apparently is a Mamon Bashem. There is some degree of emunah that they have, and they apparently believe that Matan Torah is something to be given to the Am HaNivchar, to the Am Segula, the nation that's Choviv in the eyes of Hashem, and their derech is going to be in direct opposition, in direct contradiction to that of Amalek, and therefore he comes and engages in a Muhammad with us. He sees a stira between his kiyum and the kiyum of Am Yisrael. But obviously, this emunah doesn't really have a lot of value because Amalek somehow thinks they can undo the divine tachnit, the divine plan, the divine blueprint to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And somehow they think that they're going to go ahead and be matzliach. And that's exactly the abla of Amalek. After the Torah describes in Kriyas Yamsuf, Shomu amim yirgozun, chi lochaz yoshuvei ploshes, Ozni balu alufei edom, elei moav yochazei maroad, nomogu kol yoshuvei chenoan. The entire world was essentially reduced to almost that of a cipher. They're in pachad of Klal Yisrael, because they see the Yad Hashem. And that's the Ambati Wosachas that Rashi quotes, that seething bathtub. Only Amalek somehow thinks I can go ahead and engage in Melchama Neged Hashem Yisbarach. And so Rav Nevesol Shlita suggested, that's what Chazal quoted, Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chafei, Leitz Take Upesi Yarim. Leitz Take, says Chazal, that refers to Paro. And Amalek Upesi Yarim. Ze Yisrael. That Yisrael saw Paro and Amalek subjected to the wrath of Hashem Yisbarach, and because of that he became a ger, decided to convert and become a Jew. Oyev Torah Mitzvahs. Why is Paro and Amalek, why are they called Letz? Where do we find that Letzonus on the part of Amalek and the part of Paro? Mishlam of Paro, perhaps one could say there's a mocker. But Moshe Rabbeinu told him, Rak al Yosef Paro Hasel, Lashon Hitul. That's a Lashon of Letzonus. Levilti Shlachis Ha'om. So there we have a mocker for Letzonus. But Amalek, we don't find any lights on us. We never heard any good jokes from Amalek that Chazal should call them, should use the term of let's. So the answer to this question lies in what the definition of a let's is. A let's is not someone who tells jokes. Because someone tells a joke doesn't mean he's a let's, chas v'shalom. Chazal had many times the concept of milsa de b'dichusa, the Gemara Shabbos and elsewhere, before a shir, the Rebbe said something light in order to create an atmosphere of sorts. What is a letz? A letz, by definition, is someone who essentially takes something which has tremendous erech, something that has tremendous significance, tremendous mashmos, and unfortunately, he treats it with contempt. Gila, it has no value whatsoever. It's not choshev in his eyes. Paro, one makah after the next. A continuum of makos. Makah charei makah. And after each makah, somehow, he's mevatel ka'afa da'ara. Whatever lesson is embedded in that makah that Hashem wants to give him. And finally, the 10th makah, where Rebbeinu Shlomo Thomas Rabbeinu, kol magei foisai, elibcho v'avodecho v'amecho v'avur teida kein kamoni b'chol haaretz. Only then, at that point, does he send Klal Yisrael out. But in effect, even that makah left only a very small kind of roshem. After 1 week, he's already pursuing us. He's running after Klal Yisrael, and he wants us back. And even though there was a tzaaka gedolah b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, a massive hue and outcry, shekamo l'hoisa me'elam, They never experienced anything like that. Within a few short days, it was all forgotten. So too with Amalek. All the nations of the world see the Yad Hashem and Kriyas Yamsuf. They are nispoil. Shomu amim yigozun. Chi lochaz yeshrei poloshes. Oz nivalu alufei edom. Elei moav yochazei moroad. No mogul kol yeshrei chinoam. They melted. Does this have any impact on Amalek? Zilch. Efes. Nada. Zero. No ashba whatsoever. They come to fight Klal Yisrael below Yorei Elohim. It doesn't say that Amalek is not a maimin Elohim. No. Amalek is a maimin, the Metzias of Hashem. But he's not a Yorei. Why? Because he's a letz. He's a scoffer. He's a scorner. Eser Makos? No. Nisei Mitzrayim? No. Kriyas Yamsuf? No. Bottom of Uto. It's all null and void as far as Amalek is concerned. And therefore, this Yesod of Leitzonis is exactly what Amalek is all about. And no wonder you can understand that his Einikol, Haman Agogi, Echad Aletz, also of a similar nature. He's also not covering the Metzias of Hashem. How do we know that? He also is Mamin and Ashkoch of Hashem is Brach. Vaharaya Chazal tell us, Mar Megillah, Midrashim, that he decides, so Vafen HaGoyrol, we're going to cast a lottery. What's the whole Indian of a Goyrol? If you don't believe in Ashkoch, what's the point of a Goyrol? What's the point of a lottery? Make your mind up what month you want to fight against the Jews. Why do we need a Goyrol? No. Haman has to see whether Min HaShamayim they'll be masking, whether they'll have divine imprimatur, divine askama. So when the girl falls in Chedesh Adar, he knows that in Chedesh Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu died. Of course, he didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu was also born in Chedesh Adar, that he was not aware of. What a simcha, a gewaldige simcha. That's a sign he's going to have Hatzlochu Bracha, B'chol Ma'aseh Yodav. He's going to have tremendous success. If someone is not a Mamin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all this has absolutely no value. It's fatuous. It's meaningless. It's comedy hour. It's buffoonery. So the Chora, the fact that this is the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died in, so Haman is not much different than his grandfather. The Zayda is a Mamin B'Metzias Hashem, yes, but it's the Chaletz. He thinks I can overcome. I can go ahead and sidestep the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Einikol, the Zel Bazach, he thinks I can go ahead and wage war against him. And the way the Medrash writes, that Haman said, "Es da chanal shika krauzokinu v'niyochal asas klum." He's an alter person. He's old octogenarian. No way he could possibly stand up to my approaches. So even though it's true the Ribbono Shel Olam was successful in Mitzrayim and with Sisera and with other Sinai Yisrael, but that's when he was a youngster. He had koyach. Now he's a zokei. He no longer has any koyach. He won't be able to be successful. V'haraya, the Nebuchadnezzar was matzliach to burn the Beis HaMikdash down. So during the days of Sancheirib, apparently he was still a youngster. And Sancheirib was matzliach. V'mein Nebuchadnezzar, he became already an older person, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So Haman, like his grandfather, is Mamim Metzias Hashem, is Mamim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matziach against Paro, against Sisera, against Amalek. But now, I will take care of him. So this is the ultimate, absolute kind of letz the Chazal speak about, Lo Yorei Elohim, lacking Yira in Hashem Yisbarach. So unquestionably, Purim is the time when Klal Yisrael was Zeicha. The Gemara has in Makkos and Shabbos, twice in Shas, the Gemara mentions the Chazal will Kobea Purim on the 14th and 15th day of Adar. Why? Since on Shushan, they rested on the 15th of Adar, and the other cities rested on the 14th of Adar. Kayomim ha-shenochu b'em ha-yehudim mi-oyveyem, Chazal will Kobea Yimei Purim l'doros for all generations. So there's a famous Chassam Sefer who asked the following question. Pesach, Chazal, the Torah tells us, were Kovea 7 days between Makas Bechoras and the time when the Egyptians drowned in the Yam. Not on the 22nd of Nisan, where Nochum and Amitzvim, where they rested from the Egyptians. So now the question is, why were Chazal Kovea Purim Bayom Mashe Nochum Bohem and not in Yigimel Adar, where the Muhammad took place? That was the Ikra Anes. Chassam Sofer gives an answer, but perhaps I heard from a beautiful answer from Agoyin Adem Sol Shlita. He suggested the following. If we were to make Purim on Yigimel Adar, it would appear as if we're molded to Hashem only on the physical Hatzolah that took place during that period of time. That all Tzorah Yisrael were destroyed by Yehudim Yisrael V'simcha V'sasim V'ikar. But that's not the only reason why we are molded to Hashem Yisbarach, even though that's also obviously very significant. But primarily we are molded to Hashem Yisbarach. Kiyimu V'kiblu HaYehudim Aleihem Yalzarom. We're molded that we were able to be mekabel the Torah Mechadosh. And that only emerged when the Muhammad was over, when we rested from our enemies. As long as the Goyim was still fighting with us, it could be that the Torah was only accepted me'enes, as the Gemara writes in Shabbos, Mikan Modor Rabba La'Raisa. But in the days of Achashverosh, the days of Mordechai v'Esther, Kimu Mashekiblu Kvar. Once again, we had a new Kabbalah Sator Mechadosh, no longer Mishum Pachad, but rather Achavei Shenocha Yehudim Me'eveyem. That's the Kabbalah Sator Merotzom that takes place Yimei Apurim, not Biyom HaMelchama. So undoubtedly, even though there's no question that there's also Hatzolah Saguf, we celebrate the fact that physically we were saved from potential decimation, where, let's say, in Hanukkah, it was the issue of spiritual decimation. So on Hanukkah, Chazal Mesakin Halel, without Mishneh V'Simcha, on Purim Davka, Mishneh V'Simcha without Halel, but the Ika Toeles is the fact that we can meet Ovdei Hashem, we can go ahead and once again receive the Torah. Halavai, that we should be Zeicha, in this Purim, Mitzah Hashem, HaChodesh Shenepach Lehem V'Yogel L'Simcha, the way the Yerushalmi learns, that one can read the Megillah the entire month, SheYafach Lonu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Yisbarach, M'Yogel L'Simcha, Me'evel L'Yom Tov, V'Nizkeh L'Rois Or Chodosh Al Tzion, V'Mher B'Yomeinu, Amen V'Yomein.
Shukrach.